We've been looking for some time at Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. And there is something here that is relevant to us all for us to consider. Because Paul has been talking in verses 6 to 10 about what the people in Galatia believe. The question is, what are we to believe? Now, let's see if any of the children can answer this question. Listen carefully. Do you exist? Yes, Jonathan. You do exist. You're sure about that? How do you know? You have to speak up. Well, how do you know you exist? You're real. How do you know you're not in someone else's dream and that you're just being dreamt about, and that you're not real at all? You just think you're real. So you're not real at all, you're just someone's dream. It's a nightmare, is it? Oh dear. These are questions that people have thought about for thousands of years. Do we exist? How do we know that we exist? How do we know that anything is real? And some people have become extremely sceptical and said, nothing exists. This doesn't exist. I don't exist. You don't exist. It's all someone else's imagination. Well, that's a bit silly. What are we to believe? Do we believe what we like to believe? Someone's making a noise when they shouldn't. Do we believe what we like to believe? Do we believe what we choose to believe? Well, of course we believe what we choose to believe. But is what we believe true? Does it accord with reality? Because, of course, we do exist. We are real. We are not living in a dream. Oh, I had a funny dream last night that I went to an exhibition in Norwich and I met someone who I conversed with, but I've never met him. And then I discovered it was his brother. So I'm thinking of writing to him this afternoon and saying, have you got a brother? That was a dream. That wasn't real. You're real. You exist. But what do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about the world? Do you believe that one day you will die? Hands up those who believe one day they will die. Well, that's most of us. Some of us aren't sure. Well, that's true. One day we will die. Unless the Lord Jesus comes again first. We don't know when he's going to do that. So we have to assume that we're going to die. But how do we know these things? Will you stop kicking, please? How do we know these things? Who do we believe? Do you believe your parents? Do you believe what they've told you? Do you believe your teachers and believe what they tell you? Do you believe what I tell you? Do you believe what your friends tell you? I think that most of you believe a mixture of what your friends tell you and what the advertisers tell you. And you can tell that if you look at young people all around the world, you'll find most of them are wearing Nike trainers. Why are they wearing Nike trainers? Because the advertisers have told them that it's cool to wear Nike trainers. And if you want to be cool, that's what you've got to wear. And everybody else thinks wearing Nike trainers is cool. And so if you're not wearing Nike trainers, oh dear, you're not cool. And so because you're afraid of being thought to be uncool, you believe what they tell you. And so you save up all that money to buy trainers that you don't really need, just so that other people think you're cool. And you can say the same for lots of other things. There's an advert on at the moment, all about Burger King, and it says that in tests, the majority of people thought theirs was better than someone else's hamburgers. Can't imagine who that could be. And yet I think if you ask most people, they'd say they preferred the other ones, without having tasted them, because of the advertising, what you've been told. And they make you believe what they want you to believe. They don't explain it to you. They don't say, look, now, this hamburger is the best because we use the best ingredients, we use all the best flavourings, and we've got the best cooks. No, they don't give you any of that at all. They don't tell you anything about the product itself. They just say, well, look at this footballer who eats our hamburgers or wears our Nike football boots. So therefore, they must be the best. And because he might happen to be your hero, you believe it. It's not because it's true. It's because you have been deceived and persuaded to believe something in spite of what is true. There's a certain way of thinking in the world. Some people call it fascism. Some people call it communism. Some people call it political correctness. But all it is that one group of people decide to dictate to everybody else what you're going to believe. Are you believing things, and as a consequence of your beliefs, doing things because of what someone else wants you to believe? What is today? Hands up, who can tell me what today is? Who can tell me what today is? Hands up. Anyone. Anyone at all. Jonathan. Mother's Day. But we're in England. We're not in America. Mother's Day is American. In England, it's Mothering Sunday. See, the Americans didn't have Mothering Sunday. And then this lady in America, at the beginning of the century, thought that her mother was wonderful. She wanted everyone to know that her mother was wonderful. And so, she went to the government and said, my mother's wonderful and you should think your mother's wonderful too. Let's have Mother's Day. And they said, don't be silly. You can be nice to your mothers any day of the year. And she said, no, we must have Mother's Day. And she started writing and complaining until eventually she embarrassed them so much that they invented Mother's Day. So the Americans have Mother's Day. We watch so much American television and see so many American films that we're starting to believe American things, and so we've started to call today Mother's Day because it's easier for the greetings card companies. They just produce Mother's Day cards instead of Mothering Sunday cards. It saves a few letters in the printing. And so it won't be that long before no one's ever heard of Mothering Sunday. And instead, everyone will talk about Mother's Day, but that's not because that's the way it was. Not because it's the way it should be. It's because one person in America, about 90 years ago, decided we should have something called Mother's Day. That was a bad thing. But we have been forced by one woman to follow the practice that she chose to follow. How many of the rest of us are doing that sort of thing in other areas as well? Are we dressing in particular ways because of what other people tell us we should? You can go to a church not very far from here, you'll find that all the ladies wear hats. All of them. Why do they wear hats? Because they have been told they must wear hats. And they're told it's because that's what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't actually say that. But they've been told that's what the Bible says, and they'll get told off if they don't wear hats. Someone else is telling them what to do and what to believe. What are we to believe? Well, first we have to start at the beginning. And at the beginning we have to acknowledge the existence of God, because God has made the world and God has revealed himself to us. And so we all know that God exists. We know that God made us. We know that God sustains us. He keeps us alive. We're all going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. We might all be dead by 12 o'clock. We don't know. It's God who keeps us alive. And one day God will choose to take our life. Because it's God's life, God has given it to us, and God will take it back from us. We need to remember that. And God one day will judge us. God has revealed all these things to us. In our hearts, we know that they are true. So when someone says to you, "Oh, I'm an atheist," they're also saying, "I'm a liar." There is no such person as an atheist. They do not exist. Though there are many people who call themselves atheists. People who say there is no God, but they know God exists because God has revealed himself to us. And God has given us a book. He's given us this book, the Bible. And in this book, he tells us what is true and what we are to believe. And we are to listen to what God has said in this book. This book is the source of all religious truth. Anything that the Bible says and teaches is true. There is no other book that tells us what is true, like the Bible tells us, because this book is the only one that God has revealed through his servants. And so it is not surprising, therefore, that since this book is true and revealed by God, when we read in it, we discover why there are problems in the world. It explains why the world exists, it explains why we exist, and it explains why there are problems in the world. Why are you like you are? You are like you are because you are a descendant of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were originally perfect, made in the image and likeness of God, made to have fellowship with God, but they rebelled against God and became sinners. And as his descendants, we are all sinners. Now there's one thing that you never have to teach a child. You never have to teach a child how to be bad. It comes naturally. All of us, when we were children, were bad. We were never taught it. We didn't learn it. We might have learned new ways of being bad, but we didn't need to learn how to be bad because we are born bad. That is our nature. That is the way that we are. That is the reason why children disobey their parents. It's because they are bad in their hearts. Their parents are a figure of authority, like God. And because they rebel against God, they also rebel against God's authority in their parents. And they do not do the things that they should do. They do not say the things that they should say. They do the opposite. You tell them to do something and they'll do the opposite. We've had an example of that this morning, because he was singing and everyone was told to sing. So what happened? I saw several mouths that were closed. Why? Because they were told to do something and they did the opposite. And then we find that if you tell them not to do something, they'll carry on doing that something because they've been told not to do it. That's sin. That's rebellion against God. And it comes from the heart, and it's because we believe things that are wrong. The Bible tells us all the reasons why we are like this. The Bible also tells us of our doom. Not the computer game. What will happen to us if we stay as we are? If we stay as we are, then we will go to judgment and God will punish us. Our society doesn't believe in punishment anymore. Children get away with whatever they like in many parts of the country. They are told, don't do that. They carry on doing it. Don't do that. They carry on doing it. And then the poor parent or the poor teacher doesn't know what to do anymore. In time gone by, they would have had a hand or a slipper or a cane across their backside. Not allowed to do that anymore. That is considered to be child abuse. Utter nonsense. But that is the belief of so many people. It is wrong. It is loving discipline. Because so many children don't have loving discipline, there's no restraint upon them. And so they carry on doing the bad things that they believe are pleasurable and enjoyable, even though they are wrong. The sad thing is, children that carry on like that grow up to adults who will carry on like that, who will die and be judged by God, and then they will receive the punishment for their sins. The Bible tells us that we cannot change ourselves. That though we are sinners, we can't do anything about it. But it tells us that God is a God of love and grace and mercy, who has sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world so that we can be forgiven for all the things we've done wrong, because he died and was punished very severely for all our sins. Leave that alone, Sam. Be punished for our sins, all the things we've done wrong. Not only that, but he makes it so that if we trust in him, if we believe in him, he gives us a new heart. He takes away the heart within that loves to sin and do that which is wrong. And he changes us so that we do that which is right and which pleases him. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 which says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this is what we all need. However young or however old we are, we all need a changed heart. We all need to know the forgiveness of God. The sooner that we know that change, the better. Our parents will think it is wonderful because instead of having to tell you off all the time, they will commend you for doing good. Instead of being shouted at for being naughty, there will be a pleasant smile because you've done what is right. But we can't change ourselves. God has to change us. And we have to come to God and confess that we are wrong. We have to confess that we've done things that are wrong and believed things that are wrong. And admit that our only hope is to be found in God's mercy. And that we have to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, trust in him, and then God will forgive us, take away our sins and give us peace. And that will be not only the most wonderful present for ourselves, but the most wonderful present for our mothers. You want to give your mothers a present today? Don't worry about flowers and cards. Come to Christ. Have a new heart from God. And then there will be such a change in the manner of your life that your mothers will be delighted. Instead of being the rebel that you are, you will be someone who first seeks to please God, and as a result of pleasing God, you will please your mother enormously. So we must recognize our sin, our rebellion, our naughtiness against God, as well as against others, and come to Jesus Christ, trust in him, and then we will know forgiveness, peace and joy, and a new heart, and a changed life, so changed that everyone around will want to know what on earth has happened to you. And it comes only through trusting in Jesus Christ, and it's to him that you have to come. Let's finish by singing number 843, and then I think there's some arrangements when we finish singing, are there not? So you need to be ready and thinking whether or not you have a mother and what you're going to give her.